We're reading Matthew chapter 26 today. Please open your Bibles. First 12 verses. Came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings or his teachings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover and that the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." And then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, so that there would not be an uprising or an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were very indignant, saying, "Why this waste? This fragrant oil, may have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? Because she has done a good work for me. You always have the poor with you, but me you will not always have, because in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her." Last Sunday, we stopped and meditated on the fact that Jesus Christ is the most important man that ever lived in history. And that the last week of his life was the most important week in the life of Jesus Christ on earth. The Bible presents Jesus Christ to us as the one that was promised, beginning with Genesis all the way to Revelation. He is God's promised sacrifice. He's the one that came to redeem us. He's the one that came to reconcile us with God. Romans 5:1, we now have peace with God. God and mankind, because of our sin, we are at war with each other, and Jesus Christ came to put an end to this war and reconcile sinful humanity with the holy, sinless God. And the presentation of the Bible and the claims of Jesus Christ in a multitude of texts that we read last Sunday, Jesus presents himself to the world as the great I Am. The Old Testament Hebrew word I Am, that is Jehovah, that means Lord, Lord of our life. During the life of Jesus, during the first 3.5 years of his ministry, is a story of Jesus going to Jerusalem. It wasn't an accident that Jesus came to Jerusalem. We read numerous times that everything Jesus did was planned, and step by step, he drew closer and closer and closer to Jerusalem, and that his eyes were focused on the cross or on Calvary. He had a mission. He did not come for people to serve him. He came to serve and to give his life. And so now we find here in the text, it says, when morning had come, or as Jesus had come with his disciples, it says that Jesus had finished teaching. For 3.5 years, Jesus had gathered a group of 12 disciples and had taught them. He had many people, such as Mary and her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus, that had followed Jesus. There were big crowds that gathered to listen to Jesus teach. And it says Jesus had finished teaching. His ministry of teaching was over, and now his ministry of sacrifice was about to happen. He's on his way to Calvary, to the cross. What did Jesus teach for 3.5 years? You know, on this night, or on this day, Mary was the only person that fully comprehended and understood the message of Jesus. Jesus came, and for 3.5 years, he taught about his kingdom. His heavenly kingdom, his spiritual kingdom. He did not present himself as a political Messiah, although that's what the people were expecting and wanted. Even his disciples after the resurrection. Remember on the road to Emmaus, Jesus meets the 2 disciples and they were saying, "Well, we thought he was the Messiah that would liberate us from Rome." And Jesus spends the next 40 days explaining scripture that these things should have happened this way. His kingdom is a kingdom that is a heavenly, a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus had spent 3 years teaching about these things. We know that story very well, that Jesus came Today we have gathered to celebrate. Our table says, do this in my remembrance, or do this to remember me, do this to remember what I have done. Interestingly, this year, our celebration of the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ coincides with the Jewish festival or the Jewish feast day that's called Passover. And we read about it in Exodus as God called his people out of Egypt. And you remember that for the Jewish people, that day was symbolic in the fact that the lamb that was slain and its blood was put on the doorposts. And that prevented the angel of death from killing the firstborn in that family. And this scene is the most vivid scene symbolically. It shows us a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us by dying on a cross. Those of us that come under the shadow of his blood, the angel of death passes over us. The angel of death represents the wrath of God. As we read Romans, Romans tells us that the wrath of God is poured out upon sinful humanity. But anybody that is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's wrath passes over. And instead of wrath, God offers his gracious free gift of salvation. God offers us his grace instead of wrath. And so it's interesting that this year we would celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us. Something that happened way back in Jewish history. And it's so sad that so many Jewish people do not see the symbolism there in Jesus Christ. But Scripture totally describes to us the fact that the wrath of God is a result of God's displeasure with sinful humanity. God is displeased. God does not like sin. God cannot stand sin. God hates sin. Yes, God hates. That is part of the character of God. He hates things that are displeasing to him, things that separate humanity from him, and that is our sin. Our text tonight describes one of the days in the last week of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says that after Jesus had completed his 3 years of teaching, remember on Sunday we celebrated his entry into Jerusalem, and the people are shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That comes from Psalm 118 that all the little Jewish children would learn by memory because that is what they were supposed to say when and if the Messiah showed up in their lifetime. And for thousands of years, they learned these Psalms, not knowing when the Messiah would really come. And when Jesus rode into the city that day, they were shouting these things, but they did not really comprehend, like Mary here, who Jesus really was. So Jesus is done teaching and he's gone to the cross. Here we find the plot. And notice the two groups of people. We have Mary deciding how she's going to pour this oil on Jesus. She's been thinking about this. She's had this oil for a long time. This oil was very expensive. It cost her 300 denarii, which is about a full year's of labor, of working. If you make minimum wage today, that's approximately $16,000. And guys, let me ask you, which one of you has spent $16,000 on a little bit of perfume for your lovely wife? And if you do have some perfume that you've given to your wife, I'm sure she uses it very sparingly, one drop at a time. And even then, the house is full of that fragrance. And that'll give you a little idea of what Mary did. Now, Jewish women would buy this alabaster jar, which is kind of like a ceramic or a porcelain vase. And it was totally sealed. And to open it up, you had to break it. And the ladies were usually to use it on one of two occasions in their life. They would either use it on the day of their wedding, at the wedding feast, so that there would be a beautiful fragrance there. Or, if somebody died that you really loved, you would anoint their body with this fragrance, as we see they wanted to do with Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. And so Mary had this, and so she's thinking about this. You see, Jesus had just raised her brother from the dead. Lazarus was dead. And Jesus, in John chapter 11, we read he raised Lazarus from the dead. And it's a good possibility that Martha and Mary, together with their brother Lazarus, invited Jesus and the disciples to their house for this supper, to thank him and to glorify him and to honor him for raising their brother from the dead. And so Mary's thinking in her head how to thank him, and she comes up with this idea to take this oil that she accumulated. It was everything she owned. It was her bank account. It was her stock market. It was her 401k. It was her retirement money. This was a very, very expensive flask of oil. And we see, in contrast to Mary, we find with Judas, who had spent 3 years with Jesus, just like Mary did. He's thinking about how to betray Jesus to the chief priests here that want to kill Jesus. Interestingly, it says they did not want to kill Jesus until after the Passover. And the Passover lasted 8 days. They had the Feast of Unleavened Bread and they had the Passover. And so notice God's sovereignty and the will of God. God's will was for Jesus to die on that day when the lamb was killed in the temple, symbolizing this Passover. Remember, Jesus was on a cross from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when did Jesus die? He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the exact time when the lamb was killed by the high priest in the temple. And just a few hundred feet outside on a hill, Jesus is dying on a cross. The high priest, the chief priest, he's plotting to kill Jesus without thinking about the symbolism involved here. And so we have Mary thinking of how to honor and thank and glorify Jesus. And it says Jesus answered Judas and the other disciples that said, "Why is she wasting all this money?" Jesus said, "She prepared my body for burial." We don't understand how, but the Holy Spirit spoke to Mary. And the 3.5 years of teaching about the spiritual things. And Jesus many times had said that I will be betrayed. I will die. I will rise again. So far as we know, Mary was the only person that understood the spiritual significance of what Jesus was about to do for her. And not so much to thank him for raising her brother from the dead, but to show her gratitude for the salvation that he was about to bring. She breaks this expensive 401k that she has. You know, some people would carefully break it off and just take just a little bit. She spares no expense. She just pours it out on Jesus completely. And the whole house is full of this aromatic smell. What a contrast between Mary and Judas, who just a day or two later will dip it. Jesus will give him the bread at the Passover. And then he's going to go out and in the garden he's going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That wasn't that much money to betray the Messiah, betray the Son of God. Now, this was all in God's plan. God planned it this way. This is God's master plan. We have Mary's plan, and we have Judas' plan, and we have God's plan. And God's plan was for Jesus to come and die on a cross. This was the plan of God that they decided before the world was created. And we see the wheels in motion. On Sunday, the crowd is shouting, "Hosanna to the King." And by Thursday, 4 days later, they're shouting, "Crucify him." Everybody missed the point of what Jesus had taught them for 3 years except Mary. She understood it. The Holy Spirit of God opened it to her. Why? How? How did Mary understand these things when nobody else did? Where do we always find Mary in Scripture? Remember, Martha's in the kitchen, right? Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus raises her brother from the dead, where's Mary? She's bowing down and at the feet of Jesus, and she's thanking him for raising Jesus from the dead. Mary was always sitting at the feet of Jesus, and what that means in Hebrew is she was always listening to what Jesus was saying. She was listening with open ears, with an attentive heart, and she was thinking about these things. Remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to her and he told her she would be the mother of the Messiah, Mary hid those things in her heart and meditated on them. And I think this Mary did the same thing. She was thinking about these things and it became crystal clear to her why Jesus had come. And so she gives it all up for Jesus. Not to gain favor from Jesus, not to gain merit or salvation from Jesus. Grace is free. But when you've met Jesus Christ and you realize what Jesus has come to do for you, and as a result of that, nothing is too costly, nothing is too expensive to give to Jesus. And so Mary gives it all. Judas loses it all. He loses his soul. That leaves us. You know, if you've come here today, maybe not 3 years, maybe you've been here for many, many years, coming and listening, and you've heard the gospel. Tonight is the night when Jesus is reaching out to you. Come to Jesus. We can stop the service. If you come up here, we'll stop the service and pray with you so that you can receive God's grace. This is a celebration for us, and my prayer that it would be a celebration for you today also. May God bless his word. Amen.